The topic today is what I would just call economic insanity of forcing a hike in the minimum wage. David Morata, welcome to The Shilling Show. Great to have you with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You know, I've long thought that we'd be far better off as a nation without a minimum wage at all, let people get paid what they're worth to the person who's employing them, and I think everybody would be better off.
First of all, the minimum wage requires a great deal of political capital on both sides, but less than 2% of the workforce works at below minimum wage, at or below minimum wage. So we're talking about a very, very small percentage of the workforce, and they're working, you know, at or below minimum wage. So it's not a big deal for employment. Employment is always going to find plenty of workers. In fact, the minimum wage just helps you find better employees because people whose work is worth less than the minimum wage, you just eliminate them and you go on with everyone else. And there's so many different exceptions to the minimum wage. You know, workers under the age of 20 have a lower minimum wage. It's $4.25. Tipped employees can have a $2.13 minimum wage. Student learners can be paid 75% of the minimum wage. Farm workers are exempt. Seasonal workers are exempt. Recreational establishments are exempt. There's so many exemptions to the minimum wage that the true effect of having a minimum wage is very rarely felt in the industry. I'm not even against it based on it's going to hurt small business owners, although it will. That's not my primary motivation for being against it. My primary motivation for being against it is you have to imagine the employee whose work is worth less than minimum wage. They may not have had a job or have ever held a job, or maybe they haven't held one in the past year. Their communication skills may not be adequate. They may not be fluent in English. They may not have finished basic schooling. They may not have learned to follow instructions, show up on time, or diligently complete tasks they don't like. These are all learned skills. And so when someone imagines that everyone deserves minimum wage, nasty employers, people are worth more than that. People are worth more than that, but their labor may not be. You know, people are worth far more than even the highest proposed minimum wage. All people have an inherent value that's completely separate from the wage that they earn. You know, their soul is priceless, but their cooking may be inedible. And so that's the person that you have to think about is the person who has not yet learned the job skills necessary to even hold a basic job. And then you ask the question, well, what do you call people whose labor is worth less than the minimum wage? You call them permanently unemployed. They can't find a job. They can't get a job. You know, I was talking to my dad this past week, and my father, his first job was setting up bowling pins.
Wow.
And he used to be paid a nickel a game for setting up bowling pins. And he learned how to set up the bowling pins really fast and then get out of the way so the next ball could come down. And for that nickel, he was an underage person. So, you know, they didn't have all the child labor laws back then. So you could get a job setting up bowling pins at age 12 or 14. And for that nickel, he could then go to the movie theater. And so that was his fun was he would go set up pins and then he would go to the movie theater. You know, today you can't imagine someone working their first job like that and then being built up into a millionaire later on. You sort of can't imagine that. But people who learn how to work then learn to work and get another job. And very few people actually stay on minimum wage more than a year. So almost everyone who gets a minimum wage job, if they're still employed at the end of the year, they've gotten a raise. And that's just the way things happen in America. But for us to take a $15 minimum wage, first of all, that's more than twice the minimum wage now. So it's the largest increase we would ever have had in the minimum wage, and we would send it higher than it's ever been before. And to send it that high basically puts the starting ladder of employment 15 feet off the ground. And everyone who can't reach that just will never be employed. There's never a chance for them to learn the skills, because you learn skills on the job by doing them. They'll never learn those skills, and they'll just be permanently unemployed.
I want to clear something up when we get back on the other side, because a lot of people think, well, everything will just go on like it was, except that all the people working right now will get paid more, and everybody else who comes along will get paid more in these various retail jobs and some of the other service type jobs, restaurants and whatever, fast food, that's just going to make an adjustment that will have absolutely no impact on those working presently. So when we come back on the other side discussing the minimum wage and the proposed raise with David Morata, we'll get to that. Stay with The Shilling Show. All right, heading into the final segment of The Shilling Show for today, continuing with David Morata, the president of Morata Wealth Management, online, moratonmoney.com. We're talking about the minimum wage. So I think that many people just believe, hey, I'm working in a minimum wage job, or I'm going to go get a job, and the only thing it'll change is that I'm going to get more money, and there will be absolutely no other effect on me or my coworkers or on society. Would you please help us to understand that rationale and why it's wrong?
Yeah, for an employer, the alternative to a minimum wage isn't a higher-paying job. The alternative to a minimum wage is outsourcing or automation. Imagine a McDonald's where you drive up and you go to order, you're on the drive-thru, and you go to order your food, and that's a trunk line to India. Someone from India is now answering your order because mm-hmm. they speak perfect English. And they can, you know, they're trained in how to upsell you for, you know, do you want fries with that and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then behind the scenes, rather than having a team of people, you have one person and a culinary robot who's flipping burgers for you. Mm-hmm. And the one person supervising this whole thing gets $15 an hour. Mm-hmm. So there you've got one person who's going to make more money because he's going to be more talented, and everyone else has been fired. The CBO did an estimate of how many people would be unemployed, and they suggested that it would be somewhere in the range of 0 to 2.7 million. Mm-hmm. They came up with 1.4 million as their best guess. Mm-hmm. And imagine 1.4 million, that's three times as many people who have been killed by COVID. Mm-hmm. Economists think it will be somewhere between maybe 1.8 and 3.5. They're saying the CBO estimate is a little low. Mm-hmm. Democrats, of course, are saying the CB estimate is a little high. But somewhere in there is going to be the range. Part of the reason for the estimates and it being just estimates is that they've never raised the minimum wage this much ever before in its existence. Mm-hmm. And young, less educated people would account for a disproportionate share of those whose reductions in employment are permanent. They did a study in Seattle, because Seattle kicked up their minimum wage.
Right.
And they found that in Seattle, for most workers, they had their hours reduced. They went from a huge increase in their hourly pay, but because they had their hours reduced, they ended up making maybe $10 more a week. Mm-hmm. And because they had to take a second job outside the city that didn't have minimum wage laws just to make ends meet. So it didn't really help a lot of workers, and that would be what I would expect. Is it might not hurt in employment, but it really wouldn't help workers, and it would just make some areas of the country is just not a good place to go if you don't have great job skills. If you have good job skills, you can go there, but if you don't have job skills, then you can't. This is in lines with what people think the minimum wage does, is it really helps protect trade unions, because it makes easier for them to maintain a higher wage for their privileged workers. Mm. But it doesn't help the most disadvantaged people in society.
And who are they? What is the demographic of these people? And in particular, in our remaining few minutes here, I know that Doug Schoen had suggestions and comments on black teenage unemployment, published of all places at Politico.
The Biden administration put on whitehouse.gov one of their priorities, which says, "The promise of our nation is that every American has an equal chance to get ahead. Yet persistent racism and barriers to opportunity have denied this promise for so many. The minimum wage law, unfortunately, is part of that systemic racism and barriers to opportunity. It's keeping people from their first job, and by and large, black teenagers fall into that category. Because they don't have the same job skills, and they don't have those first jobs, and they don't have all the priority of actually trying to work in their first employment, is one of the reasons why they are disadvantaged. But, you know, it's interesting. It's not just black teenagers. It's white people as well. Everyone who doesn't have the right job skills or has been disadvantaged in some way is hurt by the minimum wage. And keeping those jobs around would be a good idea. at minimum wage at $7.25 an hour, if you work for an entire year, you get just over $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for us, that doesn't sound like a whole lot. It sounds like you really need a better job and you need to do something like that. But the interesting thing is only about 18.6% of minimum wage workers are from household incomes below $15,000. Most of the minimum wage workers, it turns out, are white suburban teens.
Mm.
And increasing the minimum wage is going to increase income for white suburban teens who are, you know, already advantaged. If you think about it, even if you only earned $11,000 per year, you're still richer than 85% of the people in the world. We just don't, we're so well off in this country, we do not realize what a minimum wage looks like around the world. You know, there are people who are clamoring to get into the United States simply to give their children an opportunity to work for minimum wage.
We have Aaron writing in, and he says, I believe it's true that union workers promote the minimum wage because their contract increases, because their contracts require an equivalent increase in their hourly wage rates to be the same as the minimum wage increase. Does David know anything about that? We've got about a minute.
No, I don't. But that's a very interesting analysis. I'll have to look at some union contracts to see if they have something written in on the minimum wage. That would not surprise me, and that would require, you know, that's in line with my thinking about the minimum wage really does help people who are working for unions.
We've got 30 seconds. So what should we be doing instead of this?
So the most interesting thing is, and this is what economists have sort of agreed upon, if you want to help poverty, the minimum wage is a terrible way to do it. A better way to do it is with something like the earned income tax credit. The earned income tax credit simply gives you a tax credit, which is a refund on your taxes for having had a wage, but it wasn't a wage that was earning very much. That's a better way of fighting poverty. Now, you know, we can talk about the earned income tax credit, but that is a much better way of fighting poverty. And even liberals will agree liberal economists will agree that is the best way of fighting poverty, because it's just basically closer to guaranteed income, just helping the poorest among us do a little bit better. It's not great, but it's still the best way, and it's much more effective than raising minimum wage.
He's online at MuradaOnMoney.com. David, we always run out of time and still lots left on the table. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Shilling Show and for the service you provide to this audience.